The only thing you should ever say to the police is, I want my lawyer. That's why I put it on the cookie.
This is the Extra Hot Great Podcast, episode 452 for the week of March 27th, 2023. I am earmouth field David T. Cole, and I'm here with citizen detective Sarah D. Bunting.
But I made punch.
Antler queen Tara Ariano.
Did you just say Wicca bullshit to me?
And boning knife Pamela Ribbon.
Hey, wanna fuck in a weird place?
Oh, God.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Extra Hot Great. Before we get into the festivities proper, we do have an important announcement about our Patreon. Please don't fast forward because this is important. Did you know that there's absolutely no way we can make this podcast without our Patreon supporters? It is true. The ads you hear on this podcast, even for well-known brands like Oscar Mayer Bologna, make us baloney amounts of revenue. Not good baloney. I'm talking baloney baloney. Without the Patreon, we definitely would not be here.
And if you joined during our last campaign back in 2020, we are so grateful you did and that you've stayed around. We love making podcasts for you so much that we want to do even more. So we're making changes and offering new stuff we hope will draw in listeners who still haven't joined us on Patreon.
First, we are sunsetting the $2 tier at the end of the week. If you are on it, you'll be grandfathered in. We'll explain how in just a second. And with suggestions that listeners like you have made on Twitter, Discord, and email, we have assembled a plan we are very excited about. There's more detailed version on the website at extrahotgreat.com/club. But here are the main bullet points.
We are going to bring you a bendy, flexible second show. Currently, Patreon supporters get extra, extra hot great. That's a mini bonus episode that drops on Fridays. And what we are envisioning through this campaign is a bigger second episode in that slot each week that grows with support.
Yeah, here's sort of what that is going to look like. We're going to start with a lead topic. It could be a second big show of the week or a season end revisit, a theme, something big and meaty. We will then fold in extra, extra hot grade topics as extended extra credit style segments. If you are at the $2 level, you'll still get the EEHG chunk on your feed. But if you want the whole Friday episode, you can kick up your pledge.
Where we go from there with the second episode depends on you. The more support you can give, the more we can offer. And here is what's on tap. More of us. For example, more cannons of various types and forms. Giving a home to all the potential winners and losers of the week that we did not use. The most awesome thing I watched on TV this week by Kim Reed, back by popular demand, and much, much more.
Not only more of us, we're talking about more of you. We've got the Forcing Ingergers pool. That is every $5 of support gets you like one ticket, one chit to be the person who forces us to watch a TV episode of their choosing each month, including Sarah watching something from her giant list of things she needs to watch.
Make Sarah watch something from this year that was not a lead topic on this podcast. Yeah. We dare you.
We're also going to introduce Ask EHG on Twitter and Discord and email and voice. You need a rec, you need closure on something we talked about on the show, need anything at all, just ask. Hashtag it, Ask EHG. That will become a segment on the show. And we're also doing stuff like Around Your Dial. You have asked on Discord to get in on the Around the Dial action. So we're opening Around the Dial up to you and your audio and text submissions.
And more of all of us together. Listener game time. Game times on the bonus episodes are now listener game times. Put your hat in the ring and face off against your fellow listeners. Weird shit theater, nominate weird TV shows, vote them up, and we watch them together on Zoom. And as a high-level perk for those who know their way around a mic and TV, you can be a guest on the Friday show. Chat, submit a canon, and play game time.
And that's not all. We've also got stretch goal awards, including but not limited to a drunk Dave call-in show. That's right. It's time for Dave to get drunk again. It's been a couple of years. He's probably due.
Pam's in the background just shaking her head.
When will he learn? When will you learn?
Leave me out of it.
Zoom game nights. stickers, and more. And again, all of this is laid out in much more detail at extrahotgrate.com/club. We really urge you to go and take a look because there's so much more we didn't get into here. We will sprinkle in more details on news segments in the weeks to come here on the main show as well.
Right. We know that no one likes to feel hassled about this stuff, but we think we make a pretty good podcast, and we haven't done this in like a couple years. We're really bad at promoting ourselves.
Yeah, that's true.
We know we can expand this podcast reach and scope with your help. If you're not in the Patreon, consider parting with $5 a month to join. And if you are in the Patreon, could kick up that pledge or Venmo a loved one who'd love to be in on all this. We'd love to see it.
And if none of that is in your budget, we do still love that you're here. We would respectfully ask you to tell people who'd be into it to check us out. Sharing is free. We see you doing it on Twitter and Instagram, and we're so grateful for that, too. It really does make a difference. So thank you.
Yes, thank you for the word of mouth. And thank you so much for being with us. And thanks for listening to all of this. If you did, we pray you did. We really love you. We hope to see you on the Patreon and then on the Discord soon.
Woo. Yay.
And now, joining us, she is an author, screenwriter, and the Oscar-nominated creator of My Year of Dicks. You have heard her with us here before. It's Pamela Ribbon!
Pam!
Hello. Ah, it's the first time someone's introduced me that way. I felt that. Thanks, Tara. I'm glad it was you.
Ah, you're welcome. We are here to talk about season two of Yellow Jackets as we rejoin the surviving Wiscayic Yellow Jackets in the wilderness. Several months have passed. No one's doing great. Natalie and Travis are unsuccessfully hunting for two things, game and Travis's brother, Javi, who ran away during the season one doom coming and has not been seen since. Shauna, now 7 months pregnant, is spending a lot of time in a shed with Jackie's corpse, whose reanimation Shauna hallucinates. Lottie is more committed than ever to what Natalie terms Wicca bullshit. Van seems like she's starting to believe and it's causing a rift with Thaisa, speaking of whom she's still having disturbing waking dreams and sleepwalking. And in the present day, Shauna and Jeff are trying to cover her tracks in terms of Adam's death, which their daughter Callie is very suspicious about. Misty is using citizen journalist message boards to monitor chatter about Adam. Natalie finds out who kidnapped her in the season one finale, and Thaisa gets a new dog. Oh no! Only one episode has aired. We got six. We will be cool about spoilers. Let us do the Chen check-in. Pam, should our listeners watch Yellow Jackets season two?
Yes.
Sarah.
Yes, but I'll get into it.
Dave.
Yeah, this was my first introduction to the show. I thoroughly enjoyed it. We did it like kind of a Cliff Notes version of season one before getting into the first couple episodes of season two.
Yes.
And I don't remember if you told me to watch the show when it was first on, but I feel like it's extremely my jam. So I'm happy to be in on it now.
Well, we can always fill in the episodes that you didn't watch because they are good. But yeah, I had Dave watch season one, episode one, and then we skipped to Doom Coming and then the finale. Mm-hmm. And then we watched the first two episodes of season two, and it turns out that was maybe too much to watch it one day. It was a little intense. We got to the end of it, and Dave was like, I need to go to bed right now. And he had woken up literally 7 hours earlier. So
many dreams. You're like, I'll go to sleep right now so I can just get the dreams over with.
So yes, I'm going to say yes as well. So let's get into it. Pam, speaking of feelings, you are a person who feels things deeply. As we know from our sister podcast, Listen to Sassy, of all of the shows you currently watch, is this the one that takes the biggest emotional toll on you?
No, this one is a joy and a delight. And I have to say, because it is teen fanfic for adults who never wrote the teen fanfic that they would write for their friends at slumber parties and stuff. With like, and then you're with me, but I'm a corpse. And you're like pregnant with my boyfriend's baby. And like, and then like, it, I mean, it's perfect. And then you get like, they play that so sincerely. And then you get to the adults and they're sort of like, beyond sincerely, like everybody's being their most selves. So yes. Juliette Lewis just gets to constantly walk in shoulder first to any room, just shoulder, and slowly slink. I love it. It makes no emotional toll. I love it. Okay. Other than joy. Is this weird? Is it weird to like to get happy watching Yellow Jackets?
I don't know. Let's ask Sarah. Is that weird?
Maybe, but I am also weird then. So here's my thing with season two. I really found myself thinking while watching four of the six episodes that critics got that I was like impatient with it, but it's because I love it. But what I kept thinking of, and I was wondering what y'all's experience was with this, was that I think it's much better suited to watching week to week versus streaming. And maybe it's because I had just re-marathoned the whole, I don't really want to use the word binge with regards to the show.
Sure.
But I had just re-marathoned season one before sitting down with the screeners. And it was like, the pacing is just much different. Like, I think that a lot of shows today have to pace themselves both ways. And that's really hard to do. And like, Better Call Saul was able to do it, but most shows aren't. And that's not necessarily good or bad. It just is for certain shows. But this one, I really felt like more impatient coming to season two. With that said, I don't feel like they're stalling. I just think that they're very interested in their world and these characters and the performances that they're getting. And the fact is, I just like, you know, daisy chained a whole bunch of episodes together and was like, is this too slow? But I'm still watching 2 hours later. So, I think it works, but I think some people, especially those who gave up on Lost like me, might find themselves getting impatient. So I was wondering if anyone else's experience was that it was sort of like to marathon this show is maybe not as satisfying.
Dave, you did a speed run, as we previously said. What are your feelings about the early going of season two?
I think if I didn't know I was watching season two, I don't think I would have noticed really any pacing change, to be honest. It is a lot, but I do feel like I wouldn't want to marathon this show either. Like, it's really fun and gross and weird and it's not scary, but, you know, it's spooky sometimes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like watching an hour of it at a time and just digesting that, as it were, it's fine.
Listen.
And it works for me.
Yeah. Here is my potentially controversial take, and we'll see what you guys think. I wonder if the show has a balance problem in terms of its storylines, meaning it's half a spooky winter wicker man, basically. And half a crime story. And for me, one half is more interesting, and that is no offense intended to Melanie Lynskey or any of the adult actors that I love. But sometimes when they switch back to the present day, I'm like, no. Am I alone? Pam, your thoughts?
Well, they're just two different shows, sort of.
Yeah.
Like, again, it's the fanfic where you're trying to put it all in and it's just too much. And you're like, and we cast Christina Ricci, so we're just going to let her have like this whole scene. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
There's no reining it in. And so for that, I don't mind, because it's tough to stay in the Wicker Winter Wonderland all the time. They're very emotional and sincere, and there's some super stakes there. So it gets so stupid, I mean, in the sweetest way, when they're adults and fumbling around because they're a grown children still trying to live with these feelings and thoughts. And I think they do a really nice job of this episode in particular of showing, like, this is why they're like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that.
Yeah, I don't know. Without the two halves, you wouldn't get Misty in the present day, which is my favorite part of the show.
Oh, that's interesting.
I love Misty the character. She's just fucking so out there.
Would have guessed that she was your favorite. That's so funny.
Yeah.
It makes me think, do people even name anyone Misty, or was that just that era? Like, I don't know that I've met a Misty in a very long time, but it's definitely someone that was on the soccer team.
I was going to say, people that were genuinely named Misty and genuinely named Buffy, they are together here in this show. Yeah.
They are predator meme fists.
That's
those
right.
names.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was like sometimes a nickname for Melissa, maybe like Missy or Misty. Mm. Anyway, Sarah, what are your thoughts on kid versus adult plots?
I mean, I think they have to have both halves, because as we've said, that, you know, Winter Wicker is too intense.
Mm-hmm.
Although it is very evocative, like I will say, the filmmaking is great. You really do get a sense of how cold it is and how ill-equipped they are, like just like plodding out in their New Balance in a foot of snow. But I think that it also has a good ear for when to switch in and out. Like, there are just moments where, especially in Thaisa's present day storyline, that you're like, we've been here. Like, we still have all this information. We're just getting different shades of it. Like, just let's move this along. And just when I'm about to get impatient with it, it switches back to Winter Wicker. So it does have a good ear for like what its strengths are. And I think it has committed to certain things, but it knows on some level that there are segments of the audience that are like, like, I don't know how we feel about Callie, Shauna's daughter in the present timeline. Like, I think the performance is good, but I'm also like, oh my God, like, wrap it up with this one. Like, go to college, girly. Enjoy your life. I think that there's a plan. So even when I'm impatient within an episode or with a series of episodes, it's like, I don't feel the same way I felt about Lost, which was like, you know, now we're just making shit up. Like, you made this up this morning. No. Whereas this is like, maybe I don't agree with the pace, but I feel like there is a plan and that we've been told that there's a plan and you just got to trust the process. And
yeah,
it's really a pleasure watching everyone work, I must say.
I was about to say watching them cook, but again, poor choice of words. There are also a bunch of new Yellow Jacket survivors in the past timeline that are brand new, definitely not the same ones who were like sort of featured extras in season one. I've already seen one tweet theorizing that the new girls, like Crystal, the musical theater girl that we never saw before, are ghosts. But I feel like,
what?
I don't buy that. I mean, I think there's
it's
an open question how much of this is going to turn out to be like legit supernatural versus con artist supernatural on, you know, Lottie's future part, or, you know, that there's a straight line from Lottie being an untreated schizophrenic in the past to whatever she's doing in the current day. But ghost seems like a real reach to me. Seems like you guys agree.
Yeah, that's wild. I just assumed, you know, we were the ones at the back of the plane, and now we're gonna have storylines because some of these actors already want to leave.
right.
Yeah. And that was true in one case. They did recast one of them, but the others were just sort of like, well, you only ever saw the side of her head, so let's just make her a thing now.
Sure.
Like, okay, that's how, you know, televised storytelling works, and I accept it. But
And they're all gonna die this season. That's the other thing. They just need people who won't make it, right? They're all going to die.
Yes.
That's why I assumed that's why the musical theater one is like, get ready to kill me from the intro. You're going to want me to die.
I have a castle on a cloud.
Speaking of tweets I saw, our past and future guest, Josh Gondelman, tweeted that Jeff, Shauna's husband, is being too sympathetic now, and so Josh thinks Jeff has a big heel turn coming. What are your thoughts? Let's start with Dave this time.
Oh, boy, I just kind of thought he was just like an oatmeal dud just to,
right?
to move that plot along with the, you know, the painter side piece. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know he's had the plot where he was doing the blackmail, and then the blackmail kind of like did a parallel shift. Adding him into the deck of cards is like one thing too many. Like, like that does feel like when Lost was like, remember these like side characters? And now here's their backstory episode for one episode we never hear from again kind of thing. That's like, it's the one thing you should have taken off.
Right.
So I don't see it, and I hope not to see it. Mm-hmm. Like, it feels like it's too far removed from the core of the show.
Right. Yeah. Plus now Shauna has like her secret with him, her secret she's trying to keep from Callie, Callie is figuring out. And she's now got another extra secret to keep from the other current day Yellow Jackets. So Sarah, you're a crime aficionado. Is this too many secrets?
I guess it is. My issue is more that I think it feels like the show understands that there is a really dark humor in that section of the story, but they're overplaying that a little bit. Like, the delivery of there's no book club is like a fucking all-timer, and you're never going to top that.
Yes.
But it does feel, based on the first few episodes, like they're just going full like satire with this section of the storyline. And the thing is, the performances are good enough that it takes until you flip out of that timeline and into another one before you're like, but wait, that Shauna's a psychopath. Like, where are we supposed to plug in to this?
Right.
But I don't mind the whiplash, though. Like, the crazy shit that happens in the woods in the past versus, you know, Misty and Frodo having their little PI club and doing their little, you know, weird flirty dance of nerdery and all of that going on there. Yes, chocolate and peanut butter. They taste great together.
Fair.
Yeah, no, I don't have a problem with, like, I don't think it's, quote, disrespectful or anything like that. I just think it's interesting. I find it just as compelling to look at it and be like, what does the show think we think?
Right.
Versus what we actually think. Like, that's fun for me. So it doesn't subtract. It's just another thing where sometimes I'm like, huh, okay. Yeah.
I'll say this about Jeff. I don't necessarily think he's going to turn, but I do agree with Sarah that, like, the There's No Book Club was, like, so much of a meme on social media that, like, now it's sort of turning, like, maybe what we're seeing is the Kramerization of Jeff, if you will.
I was just
going
to say that. Yep.
They're trying to go to that a particular kind of humor well with him. Too much, we'll see. We've danced around it long enough. Anir gets it. Let's talk about it, Pam.
Wait. Well, I just wanted to say before we talk about all the ear eating, it's giving me Matthew Lillard and Good Girls vibes.
Oh, yes.
And so I was like, that's interesting. This Papa Roach meltdown moment is so goddamn perfect that you're like, yes, I know Jeff. And Jeff's going to get it. Like, Jeff's going to get it. Like, you can't keep someone this dumb and horny without it. Without, you know, the daughter having to, like, right into his neck at some point for her mom. That's my guess of where that's going. Of dad's too dumb to live.
Yeah. That's a good call. And it's such a good call about Matthew Lillard in Good Girls, too, because he, like, it's the same plot line. It's like failing car dealership versus failing furniture store. Like, both these poor white men beleaguered in late capitalism. Anyway, the ear. Let's talk about it.
How did I not see that coming? I don't know. Because I just kept thinking, like, that thing's getting warm and it can't smell good at this point.
Yeah, that's really what I was thinking.
It's like, how could she eat it without dying? Like, I don't know. But this is also more of the teen fanfic because we all saw Alive around this time.
Right.
We were like, I'd eat that hot boy first. It's all right in there.
Yeah, it's true. But I mean, my first reaction was like, how is she even able to chew it? Like, it doesn't seem like the more snacky part of the ear is what was included.
We eat a lot of animal ears.
It's like when you get like a piece of chocolate out of the fridge. Like, you can't bite it right away. You have to let it sit in your mouth and melt a bit, soften up, and then you can get
exactly
to chew.
Exactly like that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You know who makes those candies? Hershey's.
Oh no. Yeah, it's true. That's not the body part I would start with. It's not good eaten. It doesn't have like tasty meat on it. It's just all gristle.
Yeah.
I mean,
hang on. What part are you going to eat first?
But you had such a fast answer.
It's so obvious.
You'd eat your friend's ass first?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm breaking off a finger.
Yeah.
No. I
don't. Finger, that's the same problem. It's too...
I love finger food.
It's too much bone. It's like eating wings. Ugh, too much work for too little payoff, in my opinion.
Wait. I think I'd go boobs.
I love finger, food.
You could fry up boobs. You could have deep fried boobs somehow.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, but what are you eating when you eat meat, right? This is why I had a fast answer ready because I've had this conversation before. When you're eating meat, you're eating muscle and there's not that much, there's not much muscle in a breast. There's lots in a butt.
Was anyone else in the room when you had this conversation before?
My friend Jackie, okay?
Oh, speaking of Jackie, if you have not seen Sweet Bitter, it's just every time I see her, I miss Sweet Bitter, the dumbest, bestest show that is like fanfic chef.
Yes.
Yeah, teen fanfic chef. Oh, I miss it. And you can watch it if you'd like to see people take things so seriously.
How, in terms of the Wicca bullshit, and then we can wrap it up, regardless of what Lottie believes in either timeline, I think what the show wants us to believe about supernatural forces at play here is an open question, or is it? I'm going to go to Sarah first because she's our ghostiest panelist today.
Closest to the grave, Sarah D. Bunting, what do you think?
I would have guessed Pam as the ghostier of the two of us, but I think it's close.
I'm the witchier.
I think that the show successfully threads the needle of like it could go either way,
right?
And it lets both its characters and the audience think that it could go either way. And I think also that it doesn't historically fuck around excessively with explaining how things happened. That it's like, these are people who are on the verge of expiring from hypothermia and hunger, and their bodies are eating their brains for food. Like, that could explain pretty much every perception that they have, but it may not, and it's content to let that exist. I think that the show thinks that everything that we see happen can be explained by end of life neurological thing, like schizophrenia, whatever the quote diagnosis is.
Right.
Even at the end, even in whatever season five, leave it ambiguous, then I'd be okay with that. I sort of respect that they're like, well, you know, who knows what happens in the woods. And we have only these very compromised reports to go on. So
let's go to Dave next, the least ghosty member of our panel.
Yeah. Sarah's more of a ghost, and Pam's more of a ooh.
Thanks, Dave.
I won't spoil anything, but I will say there's a scene in the second episode of season two that is set that I don't really see how they could explain it as somebody's anything, like from a point of view that is not anybody in the cast.
It gives a sense of astral projection.
It's very Blair Witchy.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Who knows what they're going to do after that episode with that whole event?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm taking a long time to explain this. So I don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah.
But that seemed to me like they were saying there's something else at play here.
Yeah.
Now that could just be overzealous production, right? Like it doesn't necessarily mean they're saying, and now the ghost of the forest is going to have its way.
Right.
But it did seem like it was shot to say something fucked up.
This is a sentient POV.
Yeah.
Yep, I agree.
I mean, I'll say, and this is not a spoiler because it happens in the first episode, like when Shauna is having her conversations with ghost Jackie, Jackie is saying things to her that we're supposed to think Shauna didn't know. Like that the first time Shauna and Jeff hooked up was right after a time that Jackie and Jeff broke up because he said he didn't want to stay with her if Jackie wasn't going to sleep with him. And so there's one reading of that where it's like Shauna is making this up to torture herself. She's deciding it's the worst possible read on her fooling around with Jeff. Or there's another version where it's like information is coming to her from beyond the veil. And Sarah, I think you're making a great point about the mental illness part of it, where it's like, you know, what people perceived in past times as, you know, evil spirits or ghosts or what have you was actually untreated mental illness that we didn't understand. So Pam, let's give you the last word. What do you think about that?
I think whenever you don't know if something is real or not, you just listen to the music that's playing while it's happening, because the lyrics will tell you what you're watching and what you should think and how to feel.
Things are getting kind of gross.
Things are getting kind of gross.
Mm-hmm. They are.
All right, it's time to go around the dial. Everybody's going to be talking about what part of the butt you would eat first. First, Stock Tart.
Oh, some very tasty butts on this show. The other big premiere of the weekend was, of course, Rabbit Hole. Just kidding. Succession. Rabbit Hole, which we saw promos for before every episode of Yellow Jackets that we watched.
What is happening with Kiefer Sutherland's face?
Kiefer Sutherland's face is going through changes.
Part of his face is going backwards.
Yes.
And the part of his face that his nose is going forwards and wides. Everything is happening to his face all at once.
That's a sidebar. We're not going to watch Rabbit Hole, but Succession is, in fact, the show I'm here to talk about. It is the fourth and final season, although according to a lot of reporting around the premiere, it seems like that decision was made after shooting was over. And the latest that I saw was that Jesse Armstrong, the creator, was like, said he hoped someone would talk him out of it. Like, who? Like, HBO would have let you keep making the show forever. What are you talking about? But whatever. I guess we'll see if it feels unfinished after the series finale, but it is possible I only feel, you know, ambivalent about it because I covered two seasons on a recap podcast. I also wrote recaps of season three, but not knowing where this season is going, I actually think they probably could have ended it sooner. I feel like seasons two and three were like, one season's worth of story, probably, and that there were a lot of detours that are mostly just to make us gawk at the Roy family's grotesque rich person affectations, which, like, I feel like the series premiere got us there so effectively that going back to it has less impact every time and also doesn't reveal the characters always as much as I think it could. But that said, I do give the show credit for not showing the characters growing or changing in ways that feel inauthentic. If anything, they're like just getting more calcified in their awfulness. For example, season three ended with Kendall telling his siblings about the cater waiter whose death he was responsible for. And then joins up with them to try and fail to destroy their father's business ambitions. And then in the season four premiere, there's no sign Kendall's tortured by this crime at all anymore. Like, just saying it seems to have solved whatever feelings he was having about it. Like, he's fully just snapped back into worthless business jag-off mode. But anyway, it's still a good show. I'm not going to miss how much the media tongue bathes it all the time. Like, when I saw that New York Magazine had launched a Succession newsletter, it's like, all right, enough. Like, and however, I am unfortunately recapping season four. Decider made me an offer I couldn't refuse. I'm a hypocrite. My premiere recap is up now. We will link it in the show notes. Dave, you also watched this premiere with me. What are your thoughts?
I would probably say the left one first, and then I'd the right
butt. Which of the Roy's butts would you eat?
Oh, boy. I mean, Dad's got the most butt.
So you're getting the most, it's flat.
You're getting the most.
Mm-mm.
That's a flat.
Roy
butt.
Is providing the most Roy. That is ROI.
Shiv's got the biggest butt. I don't know what you're talking about. Okay. You're crazy.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Roy.
Roy? They're all Roy.
Hey, Roy. Is there nobody named Roy in that show?
They're all named Roy.
What's Frank Cox's character called? What's
his Logan.
Succession. Logan. His name is Succession.
Roy is their last name.
Roy.
Yes, Logan Succession.
You know I'm bad with names, and here we are embarrassing myself on the podcast, live to tape.
But the other thing I'm going to point you to today is I interviewed Mae Whitman for Vanity Fair, talking about her new Hulu musical show, Up Here. She was a delight. Oh my God, her answer to my first question was 9 paragraphs long, so it's got cut down a lot. But she was
very... Were you asking her part of the... But
no, I didn't ask her about a butt. And I'm also going to tell everyone who is within the sound of my voice, get in the Patreon so that you can get on the Discord, because we are soliciting episode forcening suggestions on the theme Spring Fling. So if you want to force us to watch something about spring or flings or both, that's where to do it. There's a thread for it there. So extrahotgreat.com/club for more information on getting into the Patreon and then bossing us around in the Discord.
Pam, what have you been watching?
Oh, I was going to eat the fleshy top of thigh cheeky part, you know, like right under there. You dip it in a little butter. That's the part you want to snack on anyway when you see like
butter.
Netflix's algorithm loves me and sends the things I was like, sure. And so I've been watching Be Melodramatic. This is a 2019 South Korean television series following the daily lives of some 30-year-olds. It's about female friendships and that time in your 30s when what you want is either just out of reach or it just fell apart. They all decide to live together where they eat and share their lives. It's about writers and filmmakers. There's a Jackie-like ghost as one of the characters. And it's silly and sincere. And it's got, like, I don't want to say shades of Call My Agent, but I mean when you talk about an industry-type show where it's not, it's a little like that where you're like, I don't think that's how that works, but I'm enjoying this process and this point of view of it. It is written very well, like the jokes deliver. And for my plug, if you didn't get a chance to watch My Year of Dicks or enjoy all of the fun that we had over the past couple of months, it is on myyearofdicks.com. There's a link to our Vimeo hosting of it. It was originally intended for television, so it counts here as Extra Hot Great. We made it with FX, and I hope you enjoy. It's also very 90s Yellow Jackets-y, It fits in.
Yep.
Sarah D. Bunty.
I will eat an entire hand and then have all that useful bone marrow and all the fingers. I take Tara's point, but the thumb, there's a lot of meat on that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's no segue into Waco colon American Apocalypse, so I won't try it. I will just say Netflix's algorithm also knows who I am, and I'm not getting any, you know, South Korean coming of age dramas, alas. This is a three-parter from Netflix. It dropped on my birthday. Cool scheduling. Thanks, guys. It is directed by Tiller Russell, who headed up a docuseries on The Night Stalker in mid-2021 as well. And like that project, Waco is a solid case overview for people who either weren't alive or weren't paying attention when shit went down, which, because I was in college, it was me. Like most other Netflix projects, the three 45 to 50 minute episodes probably could have been a 2-hour feature, but that's not the world in 2023, and Waco is at least resolutely focused on the siege itself. It doesn't get too completist with David Koresh's origin stories. It doesn't do too much hand-wringing about Timothy McVeigh. And as good as it can be as far as letting viewers draw their own conclusions, both about whose account of the tragedy is reliable, law enforcement or Branch Davidians, and where responsibility then settles, it's non-committal in a way that some people find off-putting. Other reviewers did clock it for this. RogerEbert.com's Nick Allen, and we'll link that review in the show notes, called it a 150-minute trailer for itself, which I think is not quite fair, but also gigged some of the filmmaking as manipulative of interviewees for its own sake, which I do agree with and also was put off by. Waco American Apocalypse is not perfect by any means. The demands of the streaming algorithm under which it was made undercut its better and more thoughtful instincts. But in the end, this was an ugly, ugly event that scorched the American psyche and continues to do so. And I'm just not sure there's a way to, quote, package it that anyone's going to be happy with, because it's not happy times. I recommend it cautiously. And again, that is streaming on Netflix as we speak, and we will link that review in the show notes. Meanwhile, this and all other major case materials are on sale through the end of this week at my true crime bookshop, exhibitbbooks.com, and we will link to that in the show notes as well.
Do you think there's a job, somebody out there has a job, like the post-colonizer, you know, where they have to figure out what to add to the title so it's just not Waco, because it's like, you know, it's a true crime thing and they all have to have subtitles and, I don't know, American Apocalypse.
They put American in, like, in true crime books, it's before the colon, but it's like American everything.
Yeah. Right.
It, like, I have probably 1,500 books in inventory right now, and the American title starting ones are like fully 11%. It's bonkers. Wow. Yeah.
Don't like it.
And there's another Waco thing coming on April 14th to Paramount. It's their sequel to their miniseries from several years ago. So that's Waco colon The Aftermath, which I will be watching.
Oh God. Was that the one where What's-His-Nuts from Friday Night Lights played Koresh?
It's the one where I became a Branch Davidian while watching.
Yes, it's Taylor Kitsch was was David Koresh.
He's doing it right.
And then Michael Shannon was the lead FBI agent. So he's in the sequel as well.
I'm glad someone liked that. I was so bored. I was like, did they film this in real time? What is the
Did they manage to get David Koresh back? and Michael Shannon's like the last part of the first episode, he eats his ear.
Spoilers, Dave. Fuck.
Sorry.
John Leguizamo.
No!
John Leguizamo was, oh boy. John Leguizamo was in it too, right? Am I remembering that correctly?
Maybe.
Is that the same Waco? I watch all the Wacos. But this one is...
I love starting the day with a nice big bowl of Wacos.
Wait.
Well, I was in Texas when this happened, and they had the TV on in your classrooms. Like, you would watch it happening at school.
That's fucked up.
This is why you need to buy guns, says Texas.
Says Texas.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Says my public school. Anyway, yes. So I was excited. I thought, oh, the Kitsch one is out, but it's not. It's this summer. I can wait.
Well, I don't think he's going to be in it.
No?
No.
The Aftermath?
Wait, can't he be like Jackie?
Wait, don't tell her. Don't tell her.
Don't tell
her. Just let her find out.
I watched the whole thing waiting.
Bad news ahead.
It's the Sun all over again.
Oh, God. What?
All right, coming up on the next Extra, Extra Hot Great is Downton AB, as in AB testing. We're going to recast Downton Abbey but with the primetime characters of a particular year of our choice. So if you want to hear about how one would recast Downton Abbey using only TV characters from primetime from the 1985-86 television season, well, you're in luck. We will set you up with that. Mm-hmm. That is available to all supporters at any level. ExtraHotGreat.com/club to join in. And on the next EHG Prime, right here next week, we welcome back Monty Ashley, and we're going to be talking about the Apple TV movie Tetris. Beep, 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 beep. Beep, 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 beep,
beep, beep, beep, beep, beep. Really, if that's all we talk about in that episode, I think that will be fine. Man, Tetris, great game.
It is time for the Extra Hot Great Canon. Presenting this week is a good friend, Pam. Pam, take it away.
Hey, thanks. I'm here to talk about Girls, Season 5, Episode 3, Japan, written by Jenny Connor and directed by Jesse Peretz, former Lemonhead and MTV directing staple. Here we go. Japan. Shosha's in Japan. It's cute and quirky and aware of itself. It's an expression of a concept of life when pleasure, joy, color, and wonder take the lead. It's too much. Just like you. It's just like that coworker you hate. It's Girls. This is an extremely overlooked show on Extra Hot Great, and I'm here to say that if you think you hate this show, you might. But if you also say that mostly because you feel like you would hate Girls, but you actually like the following: candy, jokes, music, bodies, and cinematography, why not check out Season 5, Episode 3 of Girls, Japan? I don't even have to ask you to watch a full minute because you'll get the cutest wake-up scene ever filmed, courtesy of Shoshana's alarm clock right off the bat. And this is for those of you who wanted a sequel to Lost in Translation. This episode is for you. And then we have a montage, and maybe I'm losing you with this, but hang on. There's stuff for the darker souls ahead. Okay, Japan. So Shosha's in Japan. Let's hear clip one.
Ohayo! Ohayo gozaimasu! Ohayo gozaimasu! Eh, Mari, ii ne sode!
Yes, I am so kawaii!
Ah, arigato!
Ohayo gozaimasu! Ohayo!
Shosha, see the song? It's the song. I almost made you listen to the whole song, and then I was like, they will cut that. Shosha has this job in Tokyo that she was sent to that was supposed to sound terrifying and life-shattering, but instead she's thriving because she gets to be exactly herself, and she's far away from all the people who tell her she's doing it wrong. Welcome to dreamy, candy-colored, crowded anonymity. After the main title in kanji, bien sûr, Hannah's got a problem, and it's pretty reasonable, as you'll hear in clip two.
Hey, Fran! What the fucking fuck are these?
That's private.
There's
That's
nothing private about having a bunch of photos of random naked women on your phone.
Well, it's private because it is on my phone, okay? And for the record, that's not a bunch of random naked women, okay? Those are my ex-girlfriends.
This is your ex-girlfriend? Why the fuck do you have naked photos of your ex-girlfriends on your phone? That's insane.
It's not insane. I use them to masturbate.
You use these to masturbate?
Yeah.
Why would you not just use porn like a normal human male?
Are you kidding, Hannah? Porn is disgusting. Those girls, they're underage, they're on drugs, many of them have been abused, so no, that doesn't really get me hard.
Okay, if you've got such a problem with porn, then why can't you just masturbate to me?
I would. I mean, that'd be great. I would love that. To be honest, the photos that you've sent me, kind of goofy. It's like you naked going like, I'm not really going to jerk off to that.
Whomst amongst us hasn't had this feminist dilemma? And this is mostly the story of this episode as we counterbalance Shoshana's independent, sweet, and earnest Japanese life of friends and crushes with Hannah's American crisis. How can I make my man horny for me even when I'm not right in front of him? And that way I can feel very secure in my attachment issues. Let's do clip three.
He's so in love with you. It drives him crazy.
You guys, I don't even really think that he likes me like that. Seriously.
He's always like, Shoshana, you're a really shiny star at this company. He wants you.
He wants to take you to a love hotel and check you for a year.
First of all, maybe I am a shiny star at the company because even though I've only been here for a very short while, I truly feel like this is my home and you people are my family. And I don't even really care about people in America anymore. But second of all, I also kind of have a boyfriend. And third of all, he's my boss. And Sheryl Sandberg would fucking kill me.
You talk too fast.
What? I've literally never heard that.
So in this Summer Lovin' bathhouse setup, Shosh and her crush Yoshi are in complimentary scenes about their feelings on the likelihood that these two are already fucking. And if how they aren't, that's a clear sign that she's not into you. As Yoshi's friends put it, American girls are loose, America is loose, and American girls are all about fucking, always, always. It's fuck, fuck, konnichiwa, fuck, fuck, konnichiwa, and that is a quote. So there's ice cream, cotton candy, a dreamy piano over long blushing looks across the heated floors of a bathhouse unisex room. What I'm saying is this episode has everything. And then we, of course, need some Marnie, so let's have the next clip.
Honestly, I think you're overreacting.
No, you don't.
I really do. Who cares what he looks at when he's masturbating?
Okay, is this some weird new honeymoon Marnie? Next thing you're going to tell me that, like, monogamy is a construct.
I mean, in a sense, it is.
Who stole your soul?
Look, I'm not going to lie to you and pretend that Ecuador hasn't been, like, a really life-changing experience, but...
I don't know. This might be a little bit enlightened of him. Enlightened? Marnie, he keeps a whole folder of ex-girlfriend pinups to jerk it to, okay? And these aren't, like, porn stars or strippers. They're, like, regular girls, nurses, and legal aides, just, like, smiling with their tits and pussy flaps hanging out.
Ew.
How is this different than killing someone and keeping their shrunken head as a trophy?
Oh, my God. You need to take, like, a serious step back here. He is not cheating on you. He's not doing anything mean. In fact, he's the nicest guy you've ever dated by, like, a planet distance.
Well, I really thought you would be on my side.
Yeah, I am on your side. I'm always on your side.
Okay, I just fully saw your husband's dick.
Oh, my God. I love hearing the word husband.
I love how everyone getting away from Hannah has brought them joy and clarity. But it is also tourist joy, like a literal honeymoon in Ecuador.
Ecuador.
This is a comedy about that time in your life when the world revolves around you. And I've always admired the way girls handled that theme with self-awareness, neuroses, and a vice grip on friendship. How do you be yourself when yourself is still amorphous, yet it's so important to go get what you want right now before you're too old or married or mommied or money to change your mind or have an epiphany? How do you honor your true soul when so much fucking bullshit happens before you even get your double shot Americano with a splash of soy? How can you focus on anything you have to do when you know there's a 60 to 87% chance that somewhere out there, your boyfriend Fran is drooling in orgasm over his hot-ass ex? And how come Fran's exes are all such good self-photographers? Is there a class I missed? This was before, like, ring lights or portrait mode. Honestly, I call bullshit on some of these pics. Back in Tokyo, a sound we used to know as Skype announces a Zoom meeting. That's clip 5.
Konnichiwa, bitches.
Hi, Shoshana. I wanted to call you.
Oh, my God. That is so nice to hear. Seriously, I'm loving it here. Like, this corporate environment is the dream I'm living for every day of my young life. I love it so much. You know how people say that you can't run away from your problems? Well, I moved away from mine, and it worked, so people are so wrong so much of the time.
Which is honestly why, Shoshana, like, this is so hard for me to say.
What's so hard for you to say?
Let me start at the beginning. As you know, corporate Japan is in a little bit of trouble.
Okay.
And so there's fewer jobs. And now it means fewer of you and your job.
Abby, are you firing me?
No.
Oh my gosh. That just scared the shit out of me. That literally would have been like the worst thing to ever happen to me in my life.
It's called, we're managing you out.
So I still have my job, though, right?
It's like a very light ending of a relationship and a business partnership and, like, a salary.
Wait, I'm sorry. How is this different from firing?
I guess because it has a different name.
I moved to Japan.
We are going to pay for your ticket back. And it's gonna be in fucking business class.
No, I don't want to go back even in business class.
It's just this perfect bubble burst of corporate reality where they'll spend the money without wondering what you're doing with it, but it sure does take it away just as frivolously. So with her girls overseas, Hannah looks for some emotional backup from her boys, and the exchange is pure girls at its best, discussing yet another way being a woman, an enlightened woman, is problematic when there are so many kinds of women to be enlightened about, even though most of the women in this have only met like 20 types of women at most. Clip six.
I want to take your side on this, okay? I really do. But the moral underpinnings of your argument are at best, at very best, extremely unclear.
For the record, I think it's very gross.
Thank you, okay? Because I was worried I was getting, like, old and pedestrian about sex. And you know I pride myself on my sexual openness. Mm-hmm. What I lack in skill, I make up for in extreme curiosity.
So why are you getting your panties in a bunch, then?
Because, Ray, I've worked very, very hard to overcome the challenges of my non-traditional body type and accept myself for who I am. And I'm not going to be edged out of my own life by girls who don't even have any interesting fat deposits on them. Until this happened, I was basically Kate Upton to myself.
Hannah, you're still hot to Fran.
So Hannah gets naked on a couch at the back of the coffee shop while Ray takes sexy photos of her. Paint me like one of your French girls, Ray, she says. And you can, like, hear her flesh on the vinyl because it's so awkward and weird. And while the boys are barking instructions on how she should pose, trying out motivational lines to find her true smile, what ends up working is telling her that a cake is coming. So we're about 10 and a half minutes into this episode, and there have been maybe two scenes without full frontal nudity. So while you guys like your HBO titties covered in blood, semen, and dragons, this is how I like to watch my sexy butts and ample bosoms. Tara perhaps would be like, I'd eat that one. So come on over to the comedy side, y'all. It has fewer incels, and when it's over, you'll look forward to watching it again. Where is Adam Driver? That is what you ask pretty much as soon as Girls starts. Well, he's way over here in the third story on a couch. With Ray, and we have a blank space here for her name.
Jessa.
That's really funny. Jessa. Okay. He's way over here in the third story on a couch with Ray and Jessa, where he's having the tiniest watch party for the procedural show in which he just had a role. It's got Lucy Liu, and she gets to deliver a perfect procedural line. Here we go.
Primer River. I was born in an orphanage, all right?
It's great. Adam's scene in the show ends, and we're back on the couch. And here we see my favorite couple from the show shine like the top of the Chrysler building. Hit it, Dave.
You were amazing.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah. No. I'm 100% serious. I'm so impressed right now. You were tough and grimy and like greedy, but you were totally vulnerable. Like, you played into that pain so well. I'm so impressed.
You were amazing. You really were. It was subtle, but forceful. It's very strong.
Thank you. Let's just sit in silence now.
Adam's gonna be famous.
Oh,
Adam's
my.
Gonna be famous. Yes!
So then Shosh calls her fiancé, played by Jason Ritter, to tell him that she's fired and coming home. She's heartbroken, and he's both supportive and consoling, suggesting she jump right on the next plane and come home to him where he will take care of her while she's sad. It's exactly what you want to hear, but Shoshana doesn't want to leave this life she has, one that's unlike anything in her actual life, one that could be her life if only she had money and if only she were someone else. Girls does this amazing job of pushing its characters with the simple, urgent, but what do you want? It's at the heart of every argument, every monologue, every tearful confession. This isn't a show about what people need. It's about how frustrating it is to be a young girl with, quote, everything handed to her, and yet she can't get a single fucking thing that she actually wants. Instead, she has to constantly defend her every desire, every opinion, every action. She's judged, dismissed, mocked, or ignored for opening her mouth. She'll never feel right because nobody thinks she is right, even her closest friends and lovers. Everyone in the show is struggling to get what they want, and when they fail, they often make sure to take others down with them. And if that's not life in your 20s, I don't know what is. Shosh tells Jason Ritter that she'll take his advice and get on the first plane home, but then she texts her crush Yoshi, asking what he's doing right now, because that's what she wants. Then there's a scene of Fran and Hannah having silent, uncomfortable sex that Fran shuts down when he realizes that Hannah's disassociating. And she brings up the naked pictures again so that we can get them out of the way for hot Adam and hot Jessa trying not to fuck. Clip 9.
What?
Nothing.
I wrote a haiku up here. A month ago.
That's weird.
It's like from Europe. Perspective.
Why would you do that?
It was, I forgot how I got up there.
How did... What are you doing? We're just friends.
Are we?
I'm not doing this will they, won't they shit. No fucking way. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Bye.
Man, it even sounded hot. I only made you listen to that scene so that you'll go back and watch it so that you'll know why Adam Driver would have destroyed me if we'd gone to college together and we had to do scenes together, because he'd probably pull that shit even in our Noel Coward semester, and he'd make it weird and hot, and I would have filled 137 Mead notebooks with love letters and erotica and then made a play I'd ask him to be in called Travel Crans, about a guy who takes you on a road trip to break up with you, and then he'd end up dating the girl he asked you to cast in the other role because she really needed some confidence. And what I'm saying to you is, I forgot how hot Adam Driver was in Girls, and talented. Shoshana goes on a Tokyo Underground dream night with Yoshi, starting at a club with a kick-ass band of rocker chicks, followed by dancing in a warehouse with strangers, and ending at a fetish bar where one of Yoshi's friends gets hot wax poured into his ass crack. As Shosh enjoys the spectacle, Yoshi starts to see her differently. The side of Shosh that's living in full want is less interesting to him and maybe even slightly repulsive. And all she's doing is watching and laughing, just as much as his buddies, by the way. She even screams no when one of them begs her to dress up like a nurse and give it a try. And so, of course, she does. She gets into a vinyl nurse outfit and awkwardly mugs as she, like, stomps back out into the fetish room, like, look at me. Yoshi is watching as the dominatrix takes Shoshana into her arms and makes her whip Yoshi's friend's naked, wax-covered ass. She does, I mean, get into it, really, once she's challenged that she can do better. And she whips Yoshi's friend hard enough that he's both in pain, turned on, and a little bit inappropriate. Nobody here is sober, but maybe Yoshi is a bit. So he pulls Shoshana out of the bar. He apologizes for his friend and asks her if she's okay, and she responds with a kiss that he welcomes. Hannah leaves her bed, where Fran is sleeping, to go check his phone. As she comments on her ex's photos, she's passing them, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I know that one. That is Sarah Benacosta. And oh my God, it is, you guys. She totally wrote about it online. That's Sarah Benacosta as one of the girls, one of his ex-girlfriends. So then Hannah deletes all the pictures, she deletes all of the exes, and puts her bottoms-up sexy pic as Fran's screensaver. The episode hits its final moment as Shoshana is packing up her perfect sublet apartment.
Hi, Shosh. I know you're probably headed to the airport right now, but I just wanted to say that I can't wait to kiss you.
She's holding her nurse hat and wearing a face of stunned sorrow. And she walks out onto her perfect balcony on the third floor of her perfect apartment building that looks like Sesame Street architecture brought to you by the letters yes and please. She looks at this life she wants and she makes a decision. Don't wake me up, the song demands. And in her eyes, we see she changes her mind. Jason Ritter's at the airport holding flowers and a sign that says Shosh is the most Shosh, but Shosh is a no Shosh. And we're out. This episode about wanting a new life, a new start, a new career, a new relationship, or simply wanting to be wanted encapsulates the best of Girls. The dialogue is snappy, hilarious, and astute. The characters are deep into their journeys, ready to change toward what feels good rather than what feels right or what is right. The characters are deep into their journeys, ready to change toward what feels good rather than what's right, all except for Hannah, who has to remain the stubborn one, stuck to an ideal of who she always thought she was supposed to be, not for herself, but for this concept of womanhood, this beacon of truth and guiding light to a life fully lived, even when the truth is she's the only one standing in her underwear in the dark, violating someone's privacy and property in order to keep herself front and center in someone's life. Girls is a show about power struggles and the ways we hurt each other at sometimes our best moments, because we have to break things to find out what's inside. Japan is an episode more focused on what feels right rather than what's called correct. And for the fun it has along the way, I joyfully submit it to the canon.
Thank you, Pam. I don't know where to start with our responses because I feel like probably all of us saw this in the doc and went, you're crazy for this one, Pam, because you're right. This is not a show that we have historically addressed. I think we covered it in Mark One in the Joe era. And at that time, we were like, not for me. And I've dipped back in. But I'm going to say, let's start with Sarah, because I think she is the most potentially against this and yet sounded very delighted during Pam's presentation.
I was delighted. And I saw a text, I think, a tweet from Tara over the weekend that was like, Pam is crazy for this one, but I don't hate it.
Mm-hmm.
I fell off of this show halfway through, I think, because I had been recapping it from the beginning. And like between that and its fundamental, like insistently zeitgeisty, tough to take gossipy, the minute I didn't have to interface with its bullshit anymore, I was like, oh, thank God. Like while recognizing, like I saw Lena Dunham's Tiny Furniture in the theater and mm-hmm. was extremely pressed and like knocked out by it, but also repelled by how it made me feel, which like there's something to it.
Mm-hmm.
All this by way of saying that I saw Girls and I was like, I'm not sure I want to feel this way, Pam. Hateful. But this episode is like, because it starts with and is so centered on Shoshana, that's a huge help for its prospects. Hannah's like self-absorption and neediness is more like less abrasive and more relatable than usual. And also like I'm just older now and this like all of their navel-based struggling is like I'm so much more sympathetic and compassionate to it now than when it was airing. And I didn't feel like I had to be investigating my own feminist bona fides every time I was trying to recap this fucker. Yeah, this was actually much more enjoyable than I expected it to be. Pam, Adam Driver, absolutely would have burned me down to knit bone as well in college. In fact, there was totally an Adam Driver. He's now a film professor in Michigan, naturally.
Of course.
And he had that like big schnoz and floppy hair too. And bless his heart, he seems to be doing well. This was like, I think what everyone responded to about Girls who didn't have to respond to it for a living.
Mm-hmm.
That there is this, it's scathing, but it's also quite funny. The Andrew Rannells' delivery of Not the Katie Holmes alone. I was like, oh my God, that's so good. But while I did not hate it, I also had such complicated feelings about the rest of the show / gave up on it early enough that I'm not sure if it qualifies as canon worthy. And I might be putting the presentation in versus the actual episode, but I didn't want to murder Lena Dunham at any point in this like 27 minutes, which is really quite an accomplishment. I think this is possibly peak Girls in terms of it being like manageable. Psychically, I don't know. Tara, you talk for a while.
Okay, yeah. We did watch the show for Mark One, and I peeled off pretty early, and I've, you know, dipped back in. I think one of the last episodes I watched was the Patrick Wilson one that was very controversial, where it's just two of them. And I think I recall someone saying or possibly tweeting at some point that like people would have responded differently to Girls if it was called something else. Like the way the title sort of has or it projects some kind of like universalist attitude or you know, ambitions like is maybe sets you up for expectations that like when you actually watch it, it's like Lena Dunham doesn't think Hannah is cool. You know what I mean? like she's right. Just because she's playing her doesn't mean like she's the hero. She's a goof most of the time. Like she certainly is in this episode. Her stuff was the funniest, although how Fran did not immediately password protect his phone as soon as this conversation started. Come on, Fran. Could have at least shown that like she just knew it because he picked something basic. But like, yeah, the scene in the coffee shop.
Fran. Password is Fran.
Yeah. And anyone who watched Jake Lacey in The White Lotus and were like, wow, he's not playing the nice guy this time. Like, he doesn't seem this nice here either. I don't know. But that's the photo shoot scene is so funny. Sarah's right. Andrew Rannells, not the Katie Holmes. Definitely a very high peak of this episode. Ecuador. I'm glad you put it in the clips because I would be curious if you hadn't. So Marty. Funny. Adam Driver, super hot, as you said. And like Shoshana's entire adorable life in Japan, like starting with that. I mean, the apartment building, like you try to describe it, but you come close. You truly can't imagine the cuteness of this building until you actually see it. Like it looks like a toy in a Sanrio store.
Yeah, like, it's like a Playmobil comes to life.
Yes, kind Playmobil.
Of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I knew someone who, a friend of hers, had McKinsey come in and do an assessment of her office. And at the end, there was a round of layoffs, and the round of layoffs was her. So this friend of a friend, like one person got laid off. This friend of a friend. So the scene with Shoshana just not grokking that is what was happening to her would have been funny even if it wasn't A.D. Bryant, but it was, and that made it better. I laughed at this a lot. It seemed really charming. We got to see the dropout John Carreyrou's crank. There's a lot to like here. And at the end of it, I was like, do I want to start Girls from the beginning and actually watch this show I never really engaged with?
Yeah, I was
with?
Like, maybe I wasn't fair to it.
And I feel like maybe, as Sarah says, I might be old enough now that I can feel, like, fond toward these characters as opposed to annoyed and attacked, which even though I was already yes. pretty old by the time it started, it mm-hmm. was, like, still close enough that I was like, ugh. But now I like have a totally different attitude toward it. And this episode, I feel like, for even getting me close to the idea of maybe attempting this, like you have done something yeah. I did not think was possible. So great
yeah.
choice.
It's an excellent point.
And great job, Dave.
You're talking about the title Girls. If they called it something else, would it have been less attacked? The title Girls reminds me of those books I hate where it's like the one thing and
yes,
the one thing
salt.
Is so important. Yeah,
yes.
Salt. The little bits of rock that changed the universe. Or my favorite one is cod, the fish that defined a nation.
Is
and
that
I feel
true?
Like it's yeah. It was like girls, the sex that makes half the world work or something. You know, like whatever. Like it's yeah. it's true. I bet it wouldn't be nearly as
vilified.
Yes, thank you. If it was called something else. What I thought this episode nailed really well was that sort of how easily you can fall in love with a new place. You know, that honeymoon period where you're there and everything's new and crazy and like just fucking going to the 7-Eleven is like an adventure, and your brain hasn't processed the fact that in like a month or so, it's all going to be just routine. It's not going to be exciting anymore. And you're just like, I got to move to Japan. I got to do it. And I thought that was really great. And everything about everything in Japan was cute, except for the public bath, which is my top one nightmare of things I would have to do socially. You thought the mud bath in Hawaii
well, we
was
did.
Bad? Well, that's
funny.
The story. The quick version of that is we thought we were all going for mud baths, like a bathtub full of mud. We
like in the player. In.
But it yes. turns out they just want to stick us all in a room with a cup of mud and smear it over our boobs.
Yeah.
Not a room.
And we're like,
outside.
No,
outside.
By rocks.
Yeah, outside.
An enclosure with like straw around
an outside
it.
Cubicle.
Is this at the Winter Wicker Spa?
Yes.
That's great.
It was very
you had to zip line in to get there.
Love this story. There was four of us who went. One of them's no longer with us.
And we ate their butt first, didn't
was
we?
Was she delicious?
We did. Didn't
she
we?
Ate the butt first. I, you know, I think that with Lena Dunham in particular, I always felt with Girls when people were so mad about it, I was like, they don't know we know they know. Like,
right.
I always felt like she knows that. She didn't say, I am the voice of a generation. She said, like, the voice. She even, you know, made it smaller. And all of that got cut away to just be like, I hate her. And
everything about watching this episode seems like the show is very self-aware and the
yeah,
creator
yes.
is very self-aware. Yeah, like it doesn't yeah. seem like it's putting on airs, like it's trying to pass judgment on people that are not her as the creator or anything like that. Like I didn't get that vibe at all. Like I was
yeah,
surprised because I've never watched this show before and everything I heard about it critically is, you know, and it was just like, it was just a good study of people of a certain age doing, trying to like figure out what the fuck they're going to be doing. Right.
Well, and yes. she can actually, like, I don't really actually need to share a car with Lena Dunham, but
yeah.
Hannah Horvath, I sort of feel much more compassion for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Lena Dunham doesn't help herself by having an extremely grating public persona, but that's not the show's fault. Right. Like, I am trying, thanks to this exercise, to separate them in my mind.
Broad City is like girls with stakes. And so because these girls are so, quote unquote, taken care of and have everything handed them, what do they have to complain about? The stakes are their each other and their lives. Their feelings are the stakes. Mm-hmm. And I try to say that when people are like, did you like that show? I loved Girls. I was so sad when it was over. I loved this show.
Oh, Pam, you and your feelings.
I know.
Two last things. I felt Adam Driver was channeling a little bit of Will Wheaton from his episode of CSI, where he was the crazy guy in the park. He was like, Will Wheaton was trying to do his version of Charlie Manson.
As played by Bob Odenkirk as a dog on the Ben Stiller show.
Basically, yeah. And then so Adam was taking a little bit of that and putting it into this Law and Order-esque universe that he was in. And I thoroughly enjoyed all of that. And that the Trump Room, which is the fetish bar in the show, is real or was real. Guys, it closed in 2019.
Oh, no.
It didn't make it.
What a shame. Yeah. Soup Plantation and the Trump Room.
The Trump Room.
We mourn them both.
All right. Oof. We're running along. Let's put this to the official vote. Sarah Girl Bunting. I'll say you.
Sarah G. Bunting. Tara's argument that this got me so much closer to considering a rewatch than I ever thought I would ever be in any timeline, I think that's canon worthy, so it's a yes for me.
Tara?
I forgot to shout out Jesse Peretz, who Pam mentioned, who is the director of lots of wonderful TV. He directed Our Idiot Brother and The Chateau, two very good Paul Rudd movies. But he also directed not only the pilot of GLOW, but also Live Studio Audience, the season one episode, which was the first one we inducted into the canon. So he is very talented, and he did a good job here, too. And I'm voting yay. Good job, Pam.
I'm going to vote yes, too. This argument has turned me around on Girls, both the show and the people. So congratulations. That means that Girls, Season 5, Episode 3, Japan, you are hereby inducted into the Extra Hot Great Canon.
Americans love a winner.
Yup.
And will not tolerate a loser.
Nope.
It's time to discover the winner and the loser of the week. Sarah has this week's winner.
I do. It's Chris Chalk, who has been cast as James Baldwin in the Capote's Women season of Feud. And secondarily, it's me, because I somehow forgot that this was happening, was reminded, and wiggled with joy. That's right.
Just wiggled. I'm marking this so I can just cut. Wiggled with joy from Sarah D. Bunting. And
Dotson
who is
Glee.
Our loser of the week.
I'll just add before I say our loser of the week that if you can't wait to see Chris Chalk on television until whenever this Feud season happens, he is also currently in season two of the very good Perry Mason that I think was really slept on in season one, despite our efforts. We talked about it when it premiered.
Sidebar on Perry Mason. Enragingly overproduced end credits this season.
Oh, yeah, they're
Mason.
Really dumb.
I don't know what the fuck they're doing.
They are.
They were like, oh, we found $2 million in the back. We have to spend it or we don't get it for next season. I don't know. Spend it on the end credits. We haven't done them yet. Perry Mason. All right, go.
Yeah.
I forgot that existed too until Tara reminded me today. So yay.
Yeah, you should. If you never finished season one, you should, because it's extremely your shit. And season two has been really good so far. Loser of the week, Aaron Sorkin, for all the usual reasons, of course. Plus, on top of that, his anti-AI argument, obviously AI very much a topic of concern, especially with the WGA facing a strike. Sorry, Pam. His point is an AI could not write The West Wing, and actually that show is so mattered and dumb and corny. It's maybe the most AI could write it show there ever was. So, but for daring us all to prove that a chat GPT could deliver a competent script for that very stupid bad show. Aaron Sorkin, great work.
Speaking about probably AI would do it better. Do you know what time it is?
it's got to be game time.
It is. All All right, we are back to regulation game times after a couple weeks off. This is the fifth regulation game time of the season. Our standings are Tara with 2, Sarah with 2, value guest still looking to get on the board. So, Pam, bring it. Today, we are playing Extension Cords 2, The Encordoning, from Doug Dale, who earns themselves an extra credit topic of their choosing. They write, a follow-up game 2 years in the making. Many TV theme songs are sampled from a longer song, leaving plenty of track on the cutting room floor. In this game, I will play you a clip from the extended version of a theme song, part that was not featured in the show. You need to name the show. Correct answers are worth 2 points. If you need a hint, I can give you the year and network where it started, after which a correct answer is worth 1. I'll let you guess at each part of the proceeding. So you can get 1 guess before the hint and 1 guess after the hint if you still need it. Thanks, buddy. Get the steel mill situation, please, Tara Ariana.
Okay. Sarah D. Bunting has 2. I have 1. Valued guest has 2 plus Eric's meal for a total of 3.
Here we go. Let's see who's going first.
We will start with valued guest.
All right. That means Pam is up first, then Sarah, then Tara. Are we ready to play Extension Cords 2, The Encordoning?
Yes.
All right. I will play you a 15-second or so clip, Pam. You get 1 guess before and 1 guess after the hint if you still need it. Here is your theme.
I begged and pleaded with her day after day, but she packed my suitcase and sent me on my way. She gave me a kiss and then she gave me my ticket. I put my Walkman on and said I might as well kick it. First class, yo, this is bad. Drinking orange juice out of a champagne glass.
All right, that is a little bit on the cutting room floor to what TV show?
The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
You are correct. That is worth 2 points.
We would also have accepted the slap.
Too soon.
Sarah, are you ready?
I'm really good.
Yes.
Now let me see if I understand you. The problem I think you said.
Oh my.
And maybe I'm often misconstrued, but babe, I'll never pull your leg.
Mercy.
Wonder why that got cut.
So erotic.
Why start with tossed salad and scrambled eggs when you could eat someone's fingers? That's Frasier.
And first, I gotta start and eat your luscious left butt.
She said it. Give that answer again. Dave was too busy thinking of his next joke.
That's fine. It is Frasier.
Yeah, it is. All right. 2 points for Sarah as well.
Mercy.
Yes.
It's a magic carpet ride.
You want to pitch that down a few? Jesus Christ, that's screechy. That is Sesame Street.
Those children. Jesus Christ, that's screechy.
It's screechy.
It's also plinky. We didn't hear that part.
Ah, fuck those kids, right?
The show never was.
Fuck them kids. Yes.
All right, back to Pam. Everybody's got 2 points.
Oh, you can stop. I know.
So screechy. All right, what is that?
So screechy. This is Twin Peaks. But more importantly, this is the song that used to play behind me as I gave a monologue that began with rest. I used to rest. But my stepfather killed my rest 1 month before my 11th birthday, and then 1,000 nights after that.
Oh my God.
I'd hear the lights go out one by one across the house. It goes on. But that's why I know that song. You hit one half a note.
Wow.
Twin Peaks.
Nice. Sarah.
Yes.
I can't help it. I'm sorry.
I was trying to think of a butt eating joke, but it just wasn't coming. All right, here we go.
Not appropriate.
Nope.
Bite a nickel. We get to guess at any level, yeah?
That's correct. You get a guess here.
Is that
and a guess
Lost?
Out. It's not. This show started on Netflix in the year 2016.
Mm-hmm.
that show?
I mean, Stranger Things?
Yes, Stranger Things. Oh, wow. For 1 point.
Yay.
To Tara.
Checking out the hotties with their sexy bodies. So drinking Buccellato champagne, me, I got Maseratis.
Chilling at Mercado, sharing a gelato. We'll all be birds and fly away just like Nelly Furtado.
God. I first have a side. It's Girls 5 Eva, but Ashley Park has been doing a lot of ads lately, and I've been sending them to Joe because they all seem like something that Ashley from Girls 5 Eva's hologram is doing. Look up her Skechers ad and tell me I'm wrong.
All right, back to Pam. Are you ready, Pam?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Oof.
And if you need to hear anything twice, you just say so, and I will replay it for you.
You know what? Can I hear that one more time?
No.
So.
Take a crack at that.
Friday Night Lights?
Incorrect. Yeah. This show is from Fox, and it debuted in the year 1998.
Oh. God. Shit. This is a so dumb show. I don't know. It's so dumb. I mean, it sounds dumb. Right. It sounds like Top Gun became a show.
And Fox... Yeah. 90s. So those are So pick one.
This could be
narrow it down.
Doesn't really narrow it down. You're right. I don't know. Baywatch.
No, not Baywatch. Anybody?
It's not a bad guess.
Steel Mills? No. All right. That was that 70s show.
Oh. That fucker.
Ugh.
To Sarah.
Yeah.
That's the soundtrack to me sneaking away in the middle of the night to get a snack from the fridge.
Who finished the left butt, man? I don't know. I know it's not Benson. Lost? I'm just going to keep guessing. Lost Ed.
I wonder if there's any pasta left. Yum. All right. Your hint is this is a show from the AMC cable network from the year 2008. AMC Ought 8.
Walking Dead?
Oh, kind of sounds like Walking Dead a bit, I guess. Is this a steal meal, Pam?
I can steal a meal.
All right.
I can steal a meal.
What is it? What's the show?
This is Mad Men.
It is not.
Oh! Nope.
All right, that is Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
I thought for sure it was more of the, like, falling down the...
I'm still falling. Tara.
Yeah. Toast of London.
You are good for 2 points, Matt Berry. There,
it's a good song.
I was gonna guess the Partridge Family.
What show is Toast of London?
Yeah. So we're back to Pam.
I feel bad about getting that one. That's X-Files, yes.
It is 2 points.
You'd hope so.
Yeah. Still Mad Men.
Sarah.
The TV been, but ever since we've moved in, it's been empty. Why?
Malcolm in the Middle?
Yes, Malcolm in the Middle is correct. Whoa. Yes, 2 points. Nicely done.
Not sure where that came from. Don't care.
I sent it to you with my mind because yeah,
you
somehow
must have.
I have more They Might Be Giants in my Apple library than any other musical artist.
This is Tara sneaking into your mind to give you the answer.
Gonna build a little birdhouse.
Malcolm in the Middle.
Dave, when you go to sneak for a snack, I pray for pasta because there have been times when you've been in bed with me eating
peanut
the
brittle,
crunchiest
yum.
Cereal in the entire world while I'm trying to sleep.
They might be crackers. They might be crackers.
Yes.
All right. This is for Tara. We'll take us into a score break.
I know it, and it's making me mad, but I'll take the hint, please.
Your hint is NBC 2006.
Yeah! 30 Rock.
30 Rock is correct, yes. All right, let's get the scores, please. Tara.
It's a very close game. I am in the lead with 7. Pam, barely behind me with 6. Sarah, barely behind her with 5.
All right, Sarah, that means you are in the Grossworth Equalizer Challenge Zone. All right, exciting new development here in Grossworth Equalizer Challenge Zone times. I've acquired the Totally 80s Trivial Pursuit box. It does have a TV category, so we're going to give you read these 6 questions. If you get 3, we'll give you 3 points, and if you sweep it, we'll give you 6. All right, here we go.
Come on.
80s television questions. Which series copped the Emmy for Outstanding Drama Series for 4 straight years in the 80s?
Copped the Emmy? Let's say Hill Street Blues.
Hill Street Blues is correct. What sitcom featured Sabrina LaBeouf after she beat a Whitney Houston for the role of Sandra?
227?
The Cosby Show. What future 60 Minutes anchor spent much of the 80s asking questions on Face the Nation?
Morley Safer?
Leslie Stahl. All right, got 3 questions left. You need 2 of them to get your points. Which Cheers star won 4 acting Emmys more than any other cast member?
Danson?
What?
Rhea Perlman.
Oh, my God.
Right. That's right.
All right.
Good for her, though.
Shit. 2 questions. You need them both to get your points.
Okay.
Whose memorable TV roles have included T.S. Turner and Bosco Baracus?
Bosco?
Baracus. Don't overthink it.
Mr. T.
Mr. T is correct. One card, you need it. Who was the only cast member of the Jeffersons to win an Emmy?
Let's try Sherman Helmsley.
It is, I've already forgotten, Isabel Sanford.
Oh,
Isabel Sanford.
Wheezy.
All right,
all right. No points, but almost there.
Just a reminder,
effort.
I was not allowed to watch television in the 80s. So,
let's get back to it.
Don't at me, anyone.
Pam, here's your next theme.
Okay.
Guess even slower. No, it doesn't. That's it.
Is this worse than war?
You know this.
Oh, gosh. Oh, it's MASH. I wouldn't have known if it wasn't worse than war.
Yeah, way to go, Sarah.
You would have.
I don't know.
All right.
I'm comfortable with it.
Speaking of Sarah, here is your next theme.
The ChatGPT wing? Just kidding. Is that the West Wing?
It is the West Wing. Nice to do.
Hey.
Tara.
Nice callback. Yes.
Yes.
God. I'll take the hint, I guess.
All right. This show debuted on the WB in the year 1999.
Somehow I knew it was a fucking WB show. Is that...
Which one?
Yeah. Which one is the question, in fact, facing me right now? Is
more
that
like
Charmed?
One. No, it's not Charmed. Shit. Oh,
that would have been my guess, too.
Anyone?
Anyone know it? Sarah, you watched the show. You've commented on the show in the past.
Oh, was it Felicity?
No. Angel. That was
Angel. Oh.
Sanctuary.
Okay. I see what they did there.
All right. So we are back to Pam. So a couple hours later, when whatever I eat disagrees with me, that's the sound I made. Yeah. The soundtrack of me rushing to the bathroom.
Yeah. May I have the hint, please?
We are talking about a television show that debuted in the year 2014 on Netflix. Uh-oh. Oh, boy. Get away.
Oh, I just got it.
What the hell can it be? 2014 on Netflix.
She's rubbing her eyes. It's like, that's
going to
help.
I was so tired in 2014. I was so tired for the whole year.
Yeah. I don't think you watched this show.
It just doesn't seem... First of all, I would not listen to that theme song. I don't know that I would have made it. What is it?
Anyone?
Steve Mills? No. Anybody know it?
That's BoJack Horseman.
BoJack Horseman.
Oh, I did watch BoJack. Wow. Oh. Of course that's right.
Sarah D. Bunting.
It's my new ringtone.
Hint.
This syndication via Disney, 1987. So it's a syndicated show from Disney from 1987. Let me play it again for you, because you might get it. Okay.
Is this what happens the next morning after you eat pasta in the middle of the night? I am going to guess, based on quack-esque sounds, that this might be DuckTales.
Yes, DuckTales, good for one.
I'll take it.
Back to Tara.
Yep.
That's the soundtrack to me just pulling more and more toilet paper off the wall.
No one asked for this much detail, by the way. Hint, please.
You guys don't have choices for soundtrack for everything you do in your life? This is a TV show from HBO from the year 2014.
I mean, it's not this, but I can't think of what else is in the right time period, so I'm just going to say vinyl?
Incorrect. Open for a steel mill if anybody feels confident.
I was so sure that was Mad Men.
Nope. That is True Detective.
Oh, God.
All right.
Wow.
This one's for you, Pam. It is not Mad Men. I'm going to give you that
great
bonus.
Thank you for the hint. I appreciate it. I needed it.
You go to movie premieres.
Is that Orlando Bloom?
On the radio, living two lives is a little weird. Yeah, but school's cool because nobody knows.
All right,
it's Hannah Montana.
It's Hannah Montana.
That's Hannah Montana. It's got two lives. That Hannah Montana, never seen one episode. Mm-hmm.
Back to Sarah.
There's a place that you can go to, and it's never very far. Famous people you can live through if you don't know who you are. Why this so much?
That's a fucking earwig, too. I'm going to be stuck with it for 48 hours. Good thing I like Clone High.
Clone High, you are correct.
Soon to return in the spring with Ian Ziering playing the character of Ian Ziering.
Tara.
Yeah.
Tell me, where can she be? Botswana to Thailand, Milan via Amsterdam, Mali to Bali, Ohio. Oh, whoa.
A show that was really more for my sister's age that I pretended I didn't like, but I did. Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
You are correct. Good for nice two. All right, back to Pam.
Step from your shadow and make it bright. You're a lollipop, no second prize. An apple somewhere in somebody.
Crap. God, that's familiar.
If you can't tell it from that phlegm voice, you're never going to know it.
I mean, that sounds like Zooey Deschanel, but I don't know if it's New Girl because I can't remember New Girl having... all right, well, I get to guess again. Okay, so I'll say New Girl.
You are correct.
Yay!
This is New Girl.
Here's our girl. That's my Zooey Deschanel phlegm voice.
Sir.
Yep.
Heard that song before, but what show used it?
I for sure have, but then I realized I was confusing it with a different show. Can I hear it again, please?
That girl could still be mine, but I'm tired of the hurt, I'm tired of trying, I'm tired of the pain, I'm tired of trying, I'm tired of crying.
Okay, it's not this, but let me just guess and then I can get the hint. Freaks and Geeks?
Good guess, not it though. This show started on NBC in 2018. I will give you an additional hint. It's not where it ended up at the end of its run.
But it I never would have placed that, and I watched every episode of the show. That's not much of a hint, but it's a hint, I guess.
Sure.
I mean, the only thing I can think of is AP Bio.
Yes, hey! AP Bio. Good, nice. 1 point.
Sarah and Pam are now all tied up.
All right, this one for Tara will take us into our second score break here near the end of the game. Tara.
Need was a pack from her. Maybe we should trade for some physics or black markets.
This is another one I know, but I can't place it. What hint, please?
USA, 2014.
Well, it's not Royal Pains, I'll tell you that much. 2014, it's not Mr. Robot.
Robot.
I don't know.
Anybody have a guess at that one? Pretty tough. You did watch it, Tara. That was Playing House.
Playing House.
Shit. All right.
Our scores are as follows. Pam and Sarah are tied with 12. I have 9.
All right, Tara. That means you are in the Grossest Ecological Challenge Zone.
Good luck.
All right, here we go. Tara.
Yep.
TV questions from the 80s box. What primetime soap featured cameos by Gerald Ford, Nancy Reagan, and Henry Kissinger in one 1983 episode?
Dallas.
Dynasty.
The other one.
Always Dynasty.
What actor found fans deeply smitten with his first TV series character, Victor Fuentes?
Victor Cifuentes?
Fuentes. Yes.
Which actor?
Yep.
Jimmy Smith.
What title character, once a police detective, had returned to being a beat cop after his partner Johnny was gunned down?
Jeff Jeffley.
T.J. Hooker.
Mm. Oh.
Need two of these last three, Tar.
Okay.
What sitcom spun off the short-lived Three's a Crowd?
Three's Company.
Correct. What MASH veteran was brought in to play Major Nelson in I Dream of Jeannie 15 years later? That's the title. when Larry Hagman was too busy with Dallas.
Oh, boy. Mike Farrell. Damn.
Nice pull.
He does really boil my potatoes.
It doesn't Mike Farrell. He boils my potatoes. Wayne Rogers.
Oh, sure. That's better, but I can
need this one.
Name. Yeah, okay.
Like Sarah, it all comes down to the last card.
Great.
Here we go.
Love to build suspense.
Oh. Sassy. Listen to Sassy crossover.
Oh.
What budding screen star played babyface rookie cop Thomas Hansen on 21 Jump Street?
Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp is nice. Good. You just got 3 points, so let's get them up to...
He died in 1992. We miss him. Nothing bad ever happened after that because he was dead.
Thank God.
All right, what do I have? Sorry, that was two.
Three.
Well, then we're all tied up.
We are all tied up indeed. All right, everybody has 3 questions left. 6 points you can get. Here we go. Back to Pam.
Okay. I know this is ER because we used to dance to it. What?
It is not ER. It is, in fact, a show from NBC from 1990.
Oh, I know what it is. It's LA Law.
Again!
All right.
Anyone want to steel meal that one? Sarah debugging?
It's right on the tip of my brain. Tongue left
NBC
butt,
1990. All right. Oh, man.
This is a little show called Law and Order.
Oh, bum, 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 right. Oh, my God.
I'm so ashamed.
You ran the start there, though.
Oh, I've really fucked that one up. Value guest will not win this.
You really pammed that one. All right.
I pammed the shit out of that.
Sarah Debunting. Here you go.
Yeah. Pink Ladies and Jeff.
This is a show from ABC that debuted in 2009.
I'll give you a hint. One of my enemies is on it. Again, not much of a hint.
Yeah, that doesn't... doesn't really narrow it down.
If it's what I'm thinking of, and I could be wrong.
ABC, you said 2009?
That's right.
Oh. Okay, no, that's too late. I don't... Modern Family?
Yes, Modern Family, good for a...
You
picked
right.
The correct enemy. Thank you,
Tara. You did. Good job.
Tutar.
Yep. Take it to the top, make it pop. Take it to the top, make it pop.
Take it to the top, make it pop. Put the pedal to the metal, hip-hop. Stop.
Oh my God. Is this the... this is going to take me... is this... Okay. Is this Hang Time? Okay. I feel like I should have some kind of point for even just remembering the name of that Saved by the Bell show.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, right.
That's amazing.
It's not. This is a television show that debuted in the year 2009 on Logo.
Oh, RuPaul's Drag Race.
RuPaul's Drag Race. Good for a single point pickup. All right, Pam, you need points. You need both these
points
here to stay in mathematical contention.
To stay in the lead. To stay in mathematical tension. Is that what you said? Yes.
Contention.
Contention. Yes.
But and both. Tension. Oh, two! Yeah. That's mathematical tension. here you go. She's thinking real hard. Do you need to hear it again, Pam?
Can I hear it one more time? It's so big. Da, 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 da. You know, it just sounds like the beginning of when the HBO things are starting.
Oh, yeah. And it's swirling in space, the logo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can't. Okay, I can't. I'm gonna say Fantasy Island.
This is a show that debuted on NBC in the year 1964.
Good Christ!
It's still on.
How am I supposed to know that?
It is still on.
You have heard this theme song for sure.
Oh, is it? Is it Family Feud? Or a Wheel of Fortune? Family Feud. Damn it!
You're close. You're in the game show area. So
is Sarah gonna do it?
No.
Okay.
All right. This is Jeopardy.
Jeopardy.
Okay. Glad I didn't do it because I would have been wrong.
All right, Sarah. Here is your next theme.
I will fight for the place where I'm free to live together and exist as me.
I will fight in the name of Rose Quartz and everything that she believed in.
I will fight for the world I was made in. The earth is everything I've ever known.
Steven Universe?
Yeah, Steven Universe. 2 points. Wow. Nice.
Why do I keep getting Steven Universe questions and getting them correct?
I mean, what something's sinking in. Bless the crystals.
Tara.
Yep.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Here you go. That's the sound of a long pee, if ever there was one.
That's correct. Hint.
This show started in the year 2023. That's this year. On HBO.
Is that a new show on HBO this year? Is that The Last of Us?
It is The Last of Us, yes.
Okay.
Good for one. Everybody's last question is coming at you, so let's get a quick score update.
All right, well, Pam has 12. Mm-hmm. I have 14.
Yes.
Sarah has 15.
All right, let's close it out with everybody's last theme, this one for Pam.
Idea. Halt and Catch Fire.
That is incorrect.
Oh, that would have been so great if it was.
Good guess.
A show from 2013 on Netflix. Early days for Netflix.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to get it, and I can't win, so I'll just let everybody move on with... I can't even think of a Netflix show. I'm out of ideas.
Make up a title of a show you wish was on Netflix.
Oh. Cornflakes in California.
Close. That was Orange is the New Black.
I can't believe there's a part of that theme song that they didn't use in that interminable opening credits.
It's so long. It's so long.
I almost said out loud, well, it can't be Orange is the New Black because they already used all that song.
The whole thing. A small music video every time you want to watch it.
All right, Sarah, here's your last theme.
If you slow down for a second, take your time. You know where mirrors, if you remember that you're mine. And when everybody's telling me I have no time, I prove them wrong.
What's that show?
The OC.
Does sound OC-ish, yeah. This is a show that debuted in 2020 on Apple TV Plus. What's that show, Sarah?
2020 Apple TV
Plus. Gonna need an answer.
It's the only one I could think of. The Morning Show?
Oh, no, it's not. It's Ted Lasso.
Oh, well, no wonder it wasn't.
All right, here is our last team. It is for Tara.
If we're not careful, we'll be back segregated. Change for the better of your soul.
God, I have no idea. Godfather of Harlem.
Okay. This is a TV show that started on HBO in 2018.
Oh, no. Is this Vinyl? That's too late for Vinyl. It's not Vinyl. What is
it? That was like an answer you give to a theoretical question a bully presents to you in order not to get beat up. Is it Vinyl? Wrong! this theme starts off with to the start of every episode of Barry. That's the big horn.
Oh, Barry! Yes. Okay.
All right, let's hear the final scores, please.
Tom. Boy, that was a hard-fought round. Good job, Doug. Pam finished with 12. I have 14. Sarah D. Bunting is our victor with 15.
Backed into it with my left butt, and I'll take it.
Jump.
Sarah.
Thank you, Doug. All right, guys,
Thanks, Doug.
For another episode of Extra Hot Great, we spent some time in the meat shed with season 2 of Yellow Jackets before going around the dial with stops at Succession, Be Melodramatic, and Waco, American Apocalypse. Pammy, on behalf of Girls Everywhere, got Japan into the canon. We crowned winners and losers of the week, and Sarah was the winner of this week's Game Time from Doug. Next up, Downton Abbey primetime recasting on Extra Extra Hot Great. And next week, it is Tetris. Remember!
We're listening.
Remember! I am David Tickle, and on behalf of Tari Ariano.
Look, if they run, maybe a calf.
Sarah D. Bunting.
Not the Katie Holmes.
And Pamela Ribbon.
Tara eats Kiefer Sutherland's face.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time right here on Extra Hot Great.
Look, lady, I'm gonna level with you. The water pressure here sucks. The ambience is a heady mix of imminent tragedy and broken dreams, and we don't have cable or Wi-Fi. The one thing we do have is discretion.